Brad Osmo, here we go. It's your old pal Emac coming to you on a Saturday morning, Thanksgiving weekend. We've got a full second day of college football. We're back with the association. I fell asleep around 11 o'clock last night, Gundacker. Got about 8 hours of beauty sleep. Anything interesting happen in those late games?
Yes, I got bailed out, man. We've all been there where our CSVs don't hit, right? Like maybe we save a little. We racing the clock, and I didn't get my CSV in, so I didn't have any of the first three games. I loved the Charlotte game, loved Wendell Carter Jr. I was like, I'm out of there. But I would just went nuts with that Sacramento Kings stack in the Lakers game, and boy did a little donkey like me get bailed out, and it was entertaining. And as a Marvin Bagley truther, it was nice to see him get 30 minutes because of triple overtime and three starters being out. But by hook or by crook, man, it was fun times. Lakers are in trouble.
I had no idea that it went into triple overtime. Literally, I went to sleep. I did a little sports wagering last night. One worked out, one did not. I did a first bucket. I had a promo for that, or an odds boost for that. So I picked DeJounte Murray going against, that feels like 100 years ago. They were going against Boston. Boston won the tip, came down, shot one, rimmed out. Came back the other way. Derek White shot one, rimmed out. Boston got it, went back, shot another one, rimmed out. And DeJounte Murray comes down, just floater in the lane, nothing but net. And then he ended up making the second basket of the night. So I thought I was like, oh, yeah, this is my night. I got another ridiculous prop for a $50 bet on the Washington Wizards game for anybody in Virginia. And if you lose it, they're going to give you another $25 bet today. So I thought, oh, okay, well, sure, I'll run into that. And I ended up going on the over. They held the Thunder to 14 third quarter points. It was a disaster. They only scored like 22 themselves. And I was just like, man, we were on pace. I just needed 209. Nope. But they did win, but I lost. But I get my $25 bet at 3 o'clock today. I have set my alarm so I know to go check, get that ticket and put it in on another Wizards bet for tonight's game. But that leads us back to tonight's slate. We've got a fun one here. Quite a handful of teams are on back-to-backs tonight. Nobody is playing tomorrow. We have a few injury situations that we'll want to check out. We don't have to worry about the Minnesota-Philadelphia game. That's early. The rest of the main slate starting at 7:30 tonight. So we have five shows coming after us, including, of course, the NBA Deeper Dive, as well as Live Before Lock. And then they're going an extra half hour for the sponsor of that show. We're sponsored by Yahoo, so we'll be hitting on them today. And immediately right after us, we have the college football Live Before Lock. I had a nice college football hit yesterday as well for DFS. Makes up for my god-awful disaster of NFL for the entire season. I should self-exclude from main slates, Gundacker. That would be key.
I don't know, man. I do really good if I only have to make one or three lineups, but for multi-entry, man, people complain about baseball's variance, man. I swear football is just so obviously variant, and it's like everyone's in denial about it.
Yeah, it is. That's exactly my feeling as well. I'm down about $3,000 on the main or on main slates this year. I've had to claw it back via everything else. So I'm now break even since the start of NFL in my bank. And it's like, if I would have just stopped playing, I'd be up $3,000. Wait, what's wrong here? Don't pee into the wind and tell me it's raining, right?
No, don't do that.
Okay, let's get into the slate. Enough dilly-dallying around, but we were just collecting a few more people here. Got 120 of you, and now we'll start the analysis in earnest. Please do hit that like button. It helps us out against that pesky YouTube algorithm. Free content. We have the Week 12 NFL player projections. We have the NBA main slate player rostership. Rostership, because of course we are sponsored by Yahoo. We have the NHL player rankings. The NHL strategy show was on before us. So if you're interested in NHL and they have a large slate today, you can check that out. We've got the DFS building blocks article and the NBA optimal lineups pick article that talks about how to use the boom bust tool. Those will be live just after lunchtime here. Starting off our first game, Gun, we've got the New York Knickerbockers at Atlanta. They are 4-point underdogs here, 217.5 projected point total. Taj Gibson and Derrick Rose, both questionable. They missed the last night with a groin and ankle injury, respectively. We have Kemba Walker on a back-to-back. This will be the third back-to-back of the season for the Knicks. One of them he sat out. One of them he played 21 and 18 minutes. We don't know for sure what they're going to do tonight, but I think memory serves, I think he had like 23 minutes last night. If I remember correctly, the Knicks lost handily in the Big Apple to Phoenix, lost by 21. So Randall had 32 minutes. Barrett had 31 minutes. That was the only starters that played a fair amount of minutes. Take us through our first game.
Yeah, I'm not, I'm never really overly enamored with the Knicks unless there's undeniable value. You know, for a Thibodeau team, historically, Thibodeau is a guy that starters are just 35 minutes through and through, but this year has been a lot different. Knicks are a little bit more fluid game to game. Sometimes it's game script pushing, you know, the bench to shoot them back into the game. But the only constants minute-wise has been Julius Randle, RJ Barrett. And if they're dueling prices, they're not really that all that consistent, at least on the DraftKings side of things. The sub 5K Julius, or excuse me, the sub 9K Julius Randle on FanDuel is at least interesting to click on that. And then the Hawks coming from a game with Memphis, I believe, last night. Yeah, you're dealing with some back-to-backs going to the Northeast here. So I'm not super excited to get to the Knicks today. If Derrick Rose ended up missing again, you could probably talk me into a couple of long shot shares of maybe some Alec Burks and Emmanuel Quickly, but I'm not, nothing I'm going to be overly aggressive on. Trae Young does have a little bit of a history against the Knicks. They got a little spicy in the playoffs last year, so maybe he always circles the calendar for this one. I think a sub 9K on FanDuel, you know, he's probably the most interesting guard from this game. And then looking at that front court, Capella and Collins are both in play for me. Capella, big game last night. And it just feels like Capella's price should be just a smidge higher. With his size, especially going against this Knicks front court, I think his minutes should be pretty solidified here in a competitive game. So 40 plus fantasy points shouldn't be that hard to get to. So give me Capella, give me a little bit of Collins, some Trae Young. And on FanDuel, I'll take a smidge of Randall. And then unless, you know, news shakes one way or the other, I don't really see myself getting too many other Knicks without, like I said, somebody opening up.
Did they slide the start time of this game back? I'm laughing because it's not on the Yahoo slate. That we just have six games, and the Knicks in Atlanta isn't one of them.
I know sometimes Yahoo does 30 minutes late, I guess, to get some of that casual player base over there.
But yeah, but now with everybody 30 minutes. Anyway, neither here nor there, but this one isn't on Yahoo. Just calling that out. So I went and double checked on the site just to make sure I didn't screw up my filters here. But yeah, they're just six gamer there. So odd, but here we are on that one. So so last night we had Bogdanović and Trae Young both questionable prior to the start. They both played, seemed to be no worse for the wear. I'm not anticipating any issues for them. Of course, because that's a back-to-back need for both teams, neither one has a shoot-around today, so we're not going to see anything until that 5:30 practice or that 5:30 injury report. But I would proceed as if most players are good to go with the exception of those questionable Knicks guys. Moving on to our next game, the other 7:30 game, first one that's on Yahoo. We have Phoenix, 2.5-point favorites at Brooklyn. We have Nick Claxton still out with an illness, not COVID related. Not sure I'm buying this. Must be one of those malarias or yellow fever, valley fever, some obscure disease. Hopefully he's healthy. I don't want to make light of that. It's a long time to be out for that, but just a little bit odd. We have Joe Harris still out tonight dealing with that ankle injury for Phoenix. They have Nader is questionable, and then we should see Bruce Brown back. Does this do anything to James Johnson minutes, or do you think James Johnson's been the one that's been getting those extra minutes, right?
I think DeAndre Bembry was the main beneficiary.
I want to double check. Yeah, Bembry's such an empty stats guy, unfortunately. I just want to look here because I can't remember if that was a one-game deal. Yeah, so Johnson has had 26, 29, and 21 in the last three. It had been a while since he'd even had double-digit minutes there. So be careful. This is just one of those, be careful, some players are coming back, and we never exactly know for sure what's going to happen there with Coach Steve Nash. What do you got for us here from anything? You think Nash is fired up for this matchup, or does it matter to him? What do we got? Let's gin up something fun here, Gundak.
I mean, Chris Paul versus James Harden, right? A little what happened in Houston.
A little remember me. Yeah. Houston teammates. Okay. I can get behind that. State
Farm commercials, bro.
That's Cliff Paul.
That is true.
That's Cliff Paul.
Okay. They're twins. Hey, for the Nets, what happened to Blake Griffin? Man, he started the Cavs game, got benched at half. LaMarcus Aldridge came in the second half. And then the Celtics game, Aldridge started, and Griffin was a DNP. There's no injury designation tied to him. So I don't know if there's some secret squirrel stuff going on there. Some I'm watching. So keep an eye on that situation. If Aldridge started, I would probably not play Blake Griffin until I knew for sure that he would be an active part of the rotation again. Suns coming from a game in the Garden last night where they handily took care of the Knicks. So I think Devin Booker and Chris Paul's price points are just they leave a lot of room on the table for upside. 40, 50 plus fantasy points. Mentioned Chris Paul, maybe a little extra energy in this one going against old pal James. And then DeAndre Ayton, 7,800 on FanDuel, 7,200 on DraftKings. A little less warm and fuzzy than I have been recently, but I'm just fine with going back to the two centers against the Nets well, so I don't mind putting him in the pool. So those are three main guys that stand out to me: Paul, Booker, and Ayton. And then on the Nets side, the FanDuel price points on Harden and Kevin Durant feel a little bit more warm and fuzzy, but I think they're viable on either side as the Suns still have this defensive minded aura to them. They also run at one of the top paces in the league, so create those extra possessions. If you're going to give Harden and Kevin Durant extra possessions, extra opportunities, there's not many defenders that can really clamp them to prevent them from getting to their 50 plus fantasy point threshold. So some I'm in on that. Bruce Brown being back really doesn't do much for me other than, you know, make all those fringe value plays even more fringy. And Patty Mills is kind of priced where he needs to be. 5K, I need about 30 fantasy points to feel like I'm getting a good deal. I think the shot volume will be there, but it's gonna be rather scoring dependent in this scenario. So Harden, KD for me. And then depending on your thoughts on the LaMarcus Aldridge, Blake Griffin situation, if Blake is still down, Aldridge has been much closer to vintage Aldridge so far this season with a pure shot at 30 minutes. So at 5,600, that's not a bad price point for the potential opportunity here and 30 plus fantasy points. So a really viable game to target a 1.5 point spread, 220 plus total. And, you know, these days 220 plus totals are not as common as they were even as soon as 1 year ago. So I think it's a good game to be at.
Yeah, that was one of the ones that popped up for me as I was writing these up. I was laughing. I had the same thought. There's only a couple that are 220 tonight. Phoenix at Brooklyn and then Charlotte at Houston. I see producer Jordan Klein is in chat. It's early on the West Coast. He's actually not producing the show. It's Tyler. I think he's checking up on Tyler. Jordan, you didn't have to stoop so low. He's quoting Gaudier with somebody that I used to know. It's a 10-year anniversary of that song this year, I believe, 10 or 11. I think 2010 or 11 is when that came out. Been a while, been a hot minute since that one came out. That qualifies as an oldie at this point for a lot of our audience. But in any event, let's take a look here. Do you want to call it anything specifically for the back-to-back for Phoenix? So last night, Bridges had 39 minutes, Booker 35, 8 and 32, Paul just 30. I don't anticipate anybody, being on any sort of minutes limits or issues. This should be a spirited game, so a lot of fantasy goodness in this one. Is there anybody you have a lean towards on Phoenix. Tyler says that July 5th, 2011 is when that song came out. There we go. What do you got here for us on the Phoenix side of things?
Yeah, like I said, I think Chris Paul, Devin Booker, AK, I think 40 plus fantasy, but you look at this total, it's going to be a little different than some of these other games that they played, and that the Nets have the ability to score. So if they're going to keep that game a little bit more competitive, last time was a little lopsided. So maybe those 30, you know, low 30s turn into mid to high 30s here. So Chris Paul could easily fall into those big double-double games, and then Devin Booker, you know, 20, 30 real points is not out the question. So I definitely think the price is soft enough that they could almost coexist here. My soft projection on – I put 35 minutes early this morning on Devin Booker, 33 on Chris Paul, and I got back over 40 fantasy points on FanDuel, and right at 39 on Chris Paul, 40 and a half on Devin Booker, and then I also got Ayton right about 40 fantasy points. So, like, 40 is a good starting point. And if we, you know, standard deviate that way up to a little extra upside, I think AK and 8,600 on DK is really good price points to be at.
All right. Update for those not reading the chat. Jordan Klein is up early because he's going golfing. Tyler's trying to suss out if Jordan is good at golf. I'm going to help facilitate a grudge match here. We're going to get a little golf tournament together, a mano y mano. And then they're going to, what do we say? Loser gets, or winner gets the entire weekend off of an upcoming weekend. The other has to produce every show for a weekend, hopefully while we have multiple sports in session. I demand this to happen. EMAC 2024. There we go. That's going to be one of my executive orders when I am elected. All right. We ready for game number three here?
Let's do it.
Miami at Chicago. Does it shock you that Markieff Morris is out with that neck injury that really didn't seem like a neck injury? Is he just cashing them checks? I recognize these symptoms because he had them when he was with the Wizards quite often. He is the only one with an injury designation tonight. Chicago is a back-to-back. It's a 3-4. They cruised past Orlando last night by 35 points, despite Wendell Carter Jr. saying, yep, I am the captain now, and he went down with the ship, but he did help our fantasy lineups here. What do you want to do with this one here? Starting off on the Miami side, it's shocking that nobody's on the injury list for Miami. Is that possible? Did they just forget to submit it? What are you thinking here with Miami? Because you've got Jimmy Butler might be familiar with this city or the shooting background in the in the stadium there in the arena. You've got Adebayo. This is a nice matchup against a lack of rebounding front court here with Vucevic. What do you want to do here with Miami side?
Yeah, sometimes when two strong defenses get together, man, it turns into a little scrappy and extra fantasy points than you might expect. But, yeah, Miami being one of the top 10 defenses in the league, Chicago's right there as well, and they're getting a little bit closer to full strength now with Vucevic back. Javonte Green also returned the last couple of days. So we might have ourselves a little bit of a stalemate defensively if it goes full strength versus full strength. Jimmy Butler back to Chicago is always a fun time. He's almost 10K, though. I don't feel like I'm getting a great deal of any of these Heat players specifically. Even Tyler Hero over 7K, even though we've seen him hit 40-plus fantasy points, does not feel like a warm and fuzzy click. So I would probably tier three this entire game. I would think Adebayo would be the most likely to gravitate up to maybe a tier two for me, just because I think the price point's okay around 8K on both sides. The Chicago Bulls can give up some bigger games to opposing centers. Definitely have seen some rebounding struggles from them. So I don't dislike Adebayo here. I think a double-double's in the cards for him. Everyone else, I feel like it's going to be a stretch. And at those price points, there's always going to be something that feels a little bit more logical of a pivot. Even Lonzo Ball's got himself over 7K. And he's just Ball, Levine, DeRozan, Vooch. It's just I think they're all priced a little bit high going against a top five defense for what we really need from them, really as a median range of outcome, and really almost an outlier ceiling outcome here. If I had to gravitate towards one member of the Bulls here, it's probably going to be a coin flip between Levine and DeRozan, but there's no comfort, at least at DraftKings. I think AK Levine's a little bit easier to get to, but we'll talk about an AK guy coming up that might really soak up all of that ownership on FanDuel at that price range.
Yeah, looking at this game for Yahoo, the only person that is projected over 40 fantasy points is Jimmy Butler, and he's $45, 43 fantasy points. That just is not a great value here. You've got DeRozan and Vucevic and Adebayo in that 30 to 38 fantasy point range, but they're, while they have a tick better value than Butler, it's no great shakes there as well. And even at the bargain end of things, Javonte Green, does he really have 20 fantasy point upside? No, not all $10 ballers are created equal on Yahoo. You've got Duncan Robinson. I don't really want to roll the dice on that. And then maybe Alex Caruso, but Kobe White's back. It's a mess. Caruso's dealing with a sore wrist, even though it doesn't have him on the injury report. So this is kind of a stay away game for me, which is interesting because, again, as I mentioned, one game is already pulled out of this whole thing, and then I'm crossing this one off. I'm down to five games. But sometimes that's what you got to do, especially on Yahoo, if the pricing is not appropriate here. I'm going to see what my dog's going nuts over for, and you can talk about the FanDuel good plays here.
Yeah, on FanDuel, DeRozan and LaVine being, you know, 8,500 and 8K respectively. I didn't think the minutes and the volume of opportunity will be there, averaging over 25 real points a game. Again, a tougher matchup here. The price still doesn't leave a ton of meat on the bone. I do think there's a world where at least one of them gets there. You know, maybe a Butler is somebody that slows down one of them, and then the other guy has to shine just by process of elimination. So yeah, you could sell me on a couple shares of LaVine and DeRozan, but this might be one of those spots where I set a rule to not get to both of them. But like I said, man, sometimes these two when you get two strong defenses go at it, it just becomes two positives equal a negative type of situation.
All right. Sorry, there's someone at the door. So I guess that means she can go crazy if someone's at the door. That's
doing
that's
her job.
Dogs. Thank you. And of course, if it was a burglar and I wasn't on air, she'd be letting them in. That's just how it works with dogs. So, okay. Yahoo. I did want to mention that we have partnered with them. We have some excellent deals with them. They also have excellent deals just sitting out there, including their $1 million baller for Sunday. They have $200,000 of overlay on Thanksgiving. They did a $1 million contest where it was just a dollar, everybody wins, $100,000 up at the top. That is just insane, insane things that they're doing at Yahoo. You're going to want to be a part of it. If you somehow have not yet made a Yahoo account, go through the link that's at the bottom of our YouTube description here, or bottom of the video, top of the description, and you can click through that link. All you got to do is make a $10 deposit at Yahoo. What they're going to do is match you with $10 in site credit. And then once you enter a paid contest, you got to use part of your $10. You can't use their site credit, but if you use your $10, you don't have to put in $1 or $2 in a contest. They'll shoot us an email saying, hey, this person created an account coming in on the Osmo link. We're going to send you a promotion code, a coupon code that's going to get you 30 days of all access Osmo content. That's for all sites, all sports, all everything. No Fantasy Cruncher, but all everything Osmo for 30 days if you do that. That's $90 value, plus they're giving you $10. So you turn your $10 into a nice little GPP win there, and then you get Osmo for 30 days. Come on. We're hopefully get you in there on some of the good sports, because that includes college basketball. That includes college football, includes MMA, all the main sports, all the esports. It's a lot of fun here. Soccer as well. They're doing a little soccer today. Forgot to set my soccer lineups. YOLO, but there we are. All right, let's move on to our next game here. Scrolling back down to our run sheet. Charlotte at Houston. So Charlotte at Houston, what do we know about these teams? Well, Houston is an unmitigated dumpster fire. Once again, no surprise there. Charlotte, however, might be without Plumlee. He missed the last game. He's dealing with a calf injury. But aside from that, we have LaMelo Ball, who has been phenomenal. A little rough the last two games. They didn't need him per se last night to put anything down, but 35 fantasy points, 30 in the one before that, and then 60, 50, 55. He's making that next step up. He has been playing, with the exception of the last two games, 34 minutes or more in each outing. I think he is the starting point to discuss, but his price is starting to get up there just a little bit here. How do you feel about LaMelo Ball? Any teammates intrigue you in this matchup for on the back-to-back for them?
Yeah, so I think it's important to put last night's game a little bit in context. Really, the last two games, if you haven't been paying attention to LaMelo, maybe you've been out with your family. So 2 games ago, LaMelo went for that flashy layup instead of the fundamental, right? Basic fundamental. Needed to listen to Tim Duncan tapes before he plays. Because he missed the layup, he got benched, and we saw Terry Rozier go off. Last night, he didn't touch the court in the fourth quarter because the game was a blowout by the time it was time for him to check back in. So I do believe if you game script this game to be competitive, LaMelo Ball is going to get his minutes as long as he's not making boneheaded moves. So it is the Houston Rockets. Rockets come in as one of the worst offenses in all of basketball in terms of offensive efficiency. So I guess the range of outcome for the game to get lopsided does exist. But you got to love LaMelo Ball, slate to slate. He's just one of those do-it-all stuff, the stat sheet type of players. So if he's going to get another shot at 30-plus minutes, got to be in on that. I like the FanDuel price more than the DK price, but both prices can net you 50-plus fantasy points. Rozier versus Hayward's a fun one. Rozier's a guy that has been really, really strong fantasy-wise the last couple games. Even yesterday, per minute, was doing just fine. 29 minutes, 28 fantasy points. Maybe gets 34, 35 minutes in a more competitive game. Maybe his price point isn't completely where it needs to be. And then Hayward had a strong game as well yesterday, 39 fantasy points, just stuff in the stat sheet. 3 blocks made him a little bit better on FanDuel. Again, 27 minutes for him. So I think if you get deep enough minutes, I like the spot here. And if the Houston Rockets, man, if they can't keep this one competitive, this feels like a game that would suit their strengths. So a bunch of young guys that can run up and down the court with a fast-paced Hornets team and a defense of the Hornets that really isn't all that efficient here. So I kind of hope I'm going to be scripting this game to stay close, and I'm going to be running it back here with quite a bit of Rockets. I think Kevin Porter Jr. on both sides is a little bit too cheap for the opportunity here. And then Christian Wood is 7K on FanDuel, 7,200 on DraftKings. I think the rotation that Silas is running is very, very diluted. There's a lot of guys with their hand in the cookie jar, and there's also a lot of like read between the lines. What was blowout induced? What wasn't? There was games where KPJ was out, but I think if we keep this game competitive, I can lean on KPJ, Christian Wood, and knowing Jalen Green is out, you might feel a little bit better about some Eric Gordon in your life under 5K on both sides. He's right there at that Patty Mills price. So if you think maybe he's just a better play than Patty Mills, go for it. But KPJ, Christian Wood, and then all the Hornets in play for me. Plumlee missed yesterday. We saw PJ Washington draw a start. I wasn't really banking on a lot of minutes from them. We did see Kelly Oubre have another one of his crazy shooting nights. He's 4,600 on DK. It's a good enough matchup where I wouldn't be stunned if he is able to replicate one of those performances. But usually him going off is going to cost somebody else a ceiling game. So in my groups on Fantasy Contra, I might make sure to kind of set some rules that might reflect that. But yeah, I like this game quite a bit. I think it's very stackable.
Yeah, and on Yahoo, this one is actually looking pretty solid there. Christian Wood really stands out at $28. You're absolutely right. The minutes have been all over the place, but it's hard to tell exactly why. He has, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. In his last 6 games, he's only topped 30 minutes twice. But both those games, he averaged in those games 38 fantasy points. So that's sort of the upside. And at $28, this is a good spot for him. A lot of people forget that he takes a fair number of three-pointers. While we kind of think of him as a guy who collects a lot of rebounds and is in the paint a lot, he's moving around a fair amount throughout the offense. So that bodes well for his fantasy opportunities. You mentioned Kevin Porter Jr. is back. He missed about 10 days with a thigh injury in his last game back on the 24th, which would be 3 days ago. He played 37 minutes. So at $18 on Yahoo, he is somewhat interesting. Deshaun Tate does not seem to do well for whatever reason when Kevin Porter is on the court. Their games just don't quite mesh. Even though they get a fair number of minutes together, Jashaun Tate just ends up doing less facilitating, less rebounding. He just sort of defense and you know, that the hockey assists kind of land his way. And then you mentioned Eric Gordon. He's just 11 on Yahoo, but I don't know that in good conscience I can go there. But if you look at the game log, forget the 19 in the last one, forget the 9.7, but he had four straight of 25 or more, two over 30. The potential is there. Just, it's Eric Gordon. It's Eric Gordon. Anybody you would do a stay away from here? For me, it did. I don't want any part of Jashaun Tate. PJ Washington came back, got the start in the last game. He had missed almost 3 weeks, just over 3 weeks, I think, with a hyperextended elbow. He played 24 minutes last night. I really don't see him going much over that tonight, even if he does draw another start for Plumlee. I just don't think the conditioning may or may not be there. It seems like they're bringing him along slow. In his first game back, they only played him 6 minutes, which a little odd, because you would think, oh, elbow injury, should be okay. Well, maybe not in this one, but I'd probably stay away from him. Anything else as you clean this one up for me?
No, I do think, like, if you're going to give the Rockets 110 plus real points here, maybe feel a little bit better about Eric Gordon without Jalen Green. If someone's going to have to step up and fill the void, I think the pricing on KPJ is just way too low. My soft projection actually brought back 40 FanDuel points, 35 DKP. That's just like massive return on sub 6K on both sides. Maybe as I tighten the screws later with some more coach speak to influence this, but Jalen Green does represent a decent chunk of minutes, usually double digit shot attempts, and the pace up spot against Hornets on a back-to-back. I think it's a really strong opportunity for a couple of these guys to overperform. No one's really off limits for the Hornets for me. I probably wouldn't get to PJ Washington, maybe a Plumlee if he did play. But usually with the Hornets, I put them all in the pool and I start setting some rules. I think the most common rule I kind of lean on with the Hornets is I'll put Ball, Rozier, Hayward in a group, and I'll say at most two, because it just feels like the ceiling for all three is not likely to be there on the same game.
All right, let's actually, we're talking rules here. That's so if you have optimizers, we generally use Fantasy Cruncher here, that we're partnered with them. You can get that add-on through us here at Osmo. That actually is not the full suite of Fantasy Cruncher, but it comes at a discount because it's loaded with our projections, it's loaded with our ownership and all of that. It's just doesn't have quite all the other bells and whistles, but they're giving it to us at a reduced cost because they know that we'll help people understand how to set groups and do uniques and randomness and all of that. So they want more and more people to become familiar with it. So that's why they're running it through us as a partner site to make it a little more accessible to the casual gamers, which is key because it's a lot of fun to do this. But when we say setting groups, so that you can easily go in, and most optimizers do have this, you can go in and set different, you can give the old thumbs up, thumbs down to players. You can say, if I'm playing two people from this team, then I really want one from the other team coming back. You can set key players in it to say, if I'm playing LeBron, then I better play two from the other side. If he's going to have a good game, it's probably because somebody on the other team is going off, et cetera. So there's all sorts of ways you can influence your player pool to get correlations that you're looking for. And correlations in football and baseball, entirely different than the correlations in basketball. Here we're most things are kind of game correlated rather than player correlated. You want the game to be faster than expected. You want maybe an overtime, something like that. That's where you really reap the benefits of correlation, because there's only one rebound per shot. There's only one assist per shot, and you got to have a basketball move, blah, 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 all the other stuff. So getting a player-to-player correlation is a little tougher. So what Gundacker's mentioning here is saying, hey, there are certain players that aren't going to be playing in the fourth quarter, or there are certain combinations of players that just aren't going to be playing together if X, Y, and Z happens. What he's saying is, hey, these three guys are going to be out there. They're going to be out there for most of the second half. But all three of them getting there? I don't know that that's going to happen. I don't want more than two of them. I'm happy to get any of the three, but I don't want all three. That's what he's saying when he says he's limiting the players. It's just certain combinations. So just a real quick lesson there, since we are the NBA strategy show. If you guys want to sign up with the 25% discount on any or on your 1 week All Access Osmo Premium package here, you can use the promo code NBA Strategy Show, all caps, all one word, NBA Strategy Show, and that will get you 25% off 1 week of Osmo Premium. All righty, anything else here before we get to Orlando and Cleveland, which should be fun?
Now, if Plumlee's out, you might get some more minutes for McDaniels. Yesterday, it was fun to see the twins go at it for a little bit.
Brother versus brother. Sometimes it happens. Sometimes it happens. Sibling rivalry. Orlando at Cleveland. I always want to say Carmelo Anthony. Cole Anthony, dealing with an ankle injury. I don't know that he plays. He's questionable. Stevens trending towards the better side of questionable. He's dealing with his own ankle injury, and we should see rookie phenom Mobley back. He was out with an elbow injury, but all signs are pointing to him rejoining the lineup tonight. We had Orlando play last night, get gobsmacked. This is a back-to-back in 3-4 for them. However, last night, no starters were over 30 minutes. I believe even Wendell Carter only played 28 or 29 minutes in this one. So everybody should be relatively fresh. Obviously, no Colin Sexton for Cleveland here. What's I said exciting. How can we be excited by Orlando, which has the second worst record in the league? And can we really be that excited for Cleveland here? Maybe is this a Ricky Rubio moment? What do you want to do here? You have something off the board. I know you've got something up your sleeve for this one.
So the Orlando Magic, like slate to slate, as literally as bad as they are, end up being somewhat highly owned every slate. It makes sense pre-flop almost every time. If Cole Anthony can't go again, well, you get a sub 6K opportunity at Jalen Suggs. That's been very hit or miss. But the front court I like. I know there was those $2 blowouts, and maybe that kind of kept the prices suppressed. But Franz Wagner, Wendell Carter, Mo Bamba all have, I want to say easy paths, very realistic paths to get into where they need to be at these price points. Wendell Carter maybe had a little extra energy yesterday facing Bulls team that chucked up the deuces on him. But I still think the price point is too low. I see somebody mention in chat about, you know, the matchup. Well, sometimes the price and usage and talent is just all mixed together to be too much to pass up. And 5,800 for Wendell Carter Jr. is, again, probably a little too light, even against the Cavs here. If Cole Anthony's back, it can only help this team be a little bit better. And Anthony has had some of those big games earlier this season. But usually guys that miss a big stretch of time, I got to see him in before I want to guess that they're going to play. But what we do know about the Magic is their defense really, really bad. So it is going to create and carve out some holes for a Cavs team that gives us a somewhat decent predictive value in minute projections. Evan Mobley might be back in the mix here for this front court. So you get the big boys going at it down low. Carter, Bamba versus Mobley and Jared Allen. Gonna love to see that. And I think every one of those four guys is very viable. Maybe a little bit more skittish on Mobley being his first game back. But before he went down, him and Allen were playing deep, high 30 minutes. Of course, that also coincided with Kevin Love being down. But I still think 30-plus minutes is a safe place to be. Garland and Rubio are definitely two guys I'd be most intrigued with. Garland has earned himself a 7K price tag on FanDuel, 7,600 on DraftKings. So there's a little bit of pushback because you need the 40-plus. But Ricky Rubio on FanDuel, just 6,400. I actually got that getting me almost 40 fantasy points on FanDuel. So I definitely can lean on a lot of pretty Ricky here. I think Wendell Carter still just run it back and just know yesterday and for many of the Magic games, the fourth quarter just didn't exist. So in a game that the Magic do end up getting a fourth quarter, a guy like Wendell Carter and Mo Bamba that are flirting with mid-20s, high 20 minutes can bleed into the 30s. And I think that's going to be a volatile wheel to spin game to game because they're so bad. But I think the pace of this one could be slow enough that it never really gets – that far away from the Magic. So I think Wendell Carter is going to be one of my favorite plays here. And then Wagner at 4,500. Those two can, I can see some ownership on them. If Cole Anthony doesn't play and Jalen Suggs has to run point again, I think that'll garner ownership. We just talked about correlations in our lineups. We have seen RJ Hampton emerge as a strong value play at times. That has been specifically correlated with blowout run in the fourth quarter. So if you have Suggs and Hampton in your player pool by the time lock comes, I would probably set a rule to not have both those guys in the same lineup, because it seems like Hampton's success comes at Suggs' failure and vice versa. Well, not vice versa, but so yeah, I think it's an ugly game. It's a slow paced game, but I do think the price points give me some spots to land on here. So if I had to core a couple of guys, it's Wagner, it's Carter, it's probably Ricky Rubio. And then Jared Allen has been really, really solid in that front court for the Cavs here. And the Magic are going to force you to stay big, but the Cavs love to play big.
All right, let's hit a couple more items here on the Cavs. Actually, good. This is a good one from Bob in chat. He's not thrilled, or I can't quite tell if he's not thrilled or thrilled with the results of Wendell Carter Jr. and having a good night last night versus having a bad game against Milwaukee. The one thing you want to remember about Wendell Carter Jr. is he has disappeared for massive stretches throughout his career. Just enigmatic would be the word to use, the one of a lofty special there. He's just, you don't really know what you're going to get. Last night he was going to be a little bit fired up. We could all kind of figure that one. You know, that was no guarantee that he was going to have a good night, but the difference between that game and most of his other games, he shot the ball like 15 times last night. He also made it to the line like 10 times. That's more than more field goal and free throw attempts than he had in two games against Milwaukee. Why did that happen? Well, yeah, Milwaukee has pretty good defense, but they also encourage teams to shoot from the wings. It's something they've done for a gazillion years, it feels like, across multiple coaching staff. That's just the way they're sort of set up with the way they do their team defense and sort of their defensive philosophy. So, you know, a lot of this is matchup based. And then you got to be careful when you're looking at other situations too, because I see that he's mentioning that Winston's son Darius, I knew I was going to do that at some point. Winston's son Darius owns the Magic. He is coming off a phenomenal game. He had like almost 50 fantasy points. However, that was one of four games. His other three games, despite averaging 31 minutes per game, he was averaging less than half a fantasy point per minute. Now, that has no impact on tonight because we don't have Colin Sexton. We have a disaster of an Orlando Magic team that's missing half of their key regulars, et cetera. But these are the different contexts that's just fascinating to look at in basketball, because unlike baseball, where we can start to look at pitcher tendencies and lefty-righty splits and the stadiums and all that, basketball is such a fluid sport that things can happen at any time. Does the basket seem like this big, or does it feel like it has a lid on it? Which players are playing well together? What's happening with coaches? What's happening with the foul calls, the sequencing of fouls, etc.? So everything's kind of wide open here. It's hard to look at a track record across a lot of different things here just by looking at the raw box score. So when we get to projections here, if you guys ever want to see a really cool show, every day at 6:30 during the weekday, Josh Engelman does the process show. He shows how he creates projections. That's the same way that most sites and other places create the projections, but it's fascinating to see all of the different things and nuances that go into it, rebounding rates and assist rates and usage and who's playing against who and what were recent rotations and is this team going big or is this going to be a slow game or a fast game or whatever. That stuff's all incorporated in and adjusted on a game per game basis. So when we start to look at projections and we say, this is a fast paced game, I'm boosting them. It's like, but that's already accounted for. Or if it's a slow paced game, it's already accounted for. That's where you're starting to look at your player pool mix, how you're playing the different contests, what is your field size, etc. So those are all the moving parts here. And that's why I'm just giving a quick summation here. Not going to go into all that today, but that's the DFS strategy show Monday through Friday, where they get an hour and a half to go into this. That's the process show where Josh breaks down, hey, here's what I'm seeing. I'm looking at game flow box scores and here's what's out there. That's the great stuff that we're teaching you how to do here at Osmo. It's teaching you how to fish, you know, and Gundacker's a big proponent of this as well. This is all math based. And again, Gundacker's like me, man, I sucked at math in high school and college. If I would have had this as the topic, I would have been so interested and so much more of an attentive student. but I didn't. So I'm learning now, even, you know, the old dog's learning new tricks, but that's what we're helping you with here at Osmo. So all this stuff is free, so you guys can check it out, but that's the important stuff. Any, that's our last strategy thing. We'll get back to the DFS analysis, but anything you want to add to that, Gundactor, because I know you enjoy teaching people how to handle the different situations as well.
Yeah, don't get caught up on one game sample sizes. Variance is a thing. And once you understand variance, understand ranges of outcomes, you'll start to be numb to the short sample size results and understand the long-term ebbs and flows, ups and downs, the EKG, and math. Yes, math.
Ah, there are that four-letter word, darn it. All right, two games to go here. We've got the Washington Wizards, who are on a back-to-back and a 3-4. There's a decent chance that Spencer Dinwiddie will be out tonight for rest. He is listed as doubtful. I don't believe he's played in a back-to-back game thus far this year. Remember, he missed all of last year with a significant injury, so no reason for Washington to push him. They are 7.5-point underdogs here going against Dallas. Dallas is going to be without Frankie Ntilikina, who's out with the calf injury, and then Jalen Brunson is dealing with a sore foot. I expect he plays, but we're still seeing his price ticked up a little bit from the time that Doncic missed. Now, the one fun thing about Brunson is when both he and Doncic are active, one of them is always on the court no matter what. So that means Brunson's running the second unit, and then he's getting between 12 and 17 minutes a game alongside Doncic, which is also helpful. And he's starting to become more of a stalwart in their closing lineups. So that makes it interesting. The other thing we want to remember about Washington is they have a new coach this year. So they have Wes Unseld Jr. So he has taken them from one of the worst defenses in the league to a middle of the pack. He was also the architect behind the Denver Nuggets turnaround when he was an assistant coach there. He was in charge of the defense, and he turned them around over the last half dozen seasons into a much better defensive team. So they're not playing as fast. They've turned over a ton of their lineup. No more Russell Westbrook. They were playing fast and shitty defense without Russell Westbrook. He was just helping be the catalyst to take them to that next level of insanity and fantasy goodness. So the reason I want to point all of this out is Dallas doesn't really play as fast as we think they do. We see a lot of amazing plays from Luka, but they are happy to go into the half court, even with their new coach, Jason Kidd there, instead of Rick Carlisle. So I don't know that this is a fantasy friendly game. I mention all of this because Bradley Beal and Doncic would be the two guys I'm really, really interested in. Beal did play a lot of minutes last night. Now he tends to, do a little bit better without Dinwiddie on the court, but he now has a boatload of good teammates. He's got KCP to be out there taking some extra shots. He's got Kyle Kuzma, who Gundacker loves to look at for triple-double potential in situations like this. He's got, Denny Obdia. That would be someone I would be interested in. Harrell off the bench, I would be interested in him. I don't know that I want to earmark my salary cap to Bradley Beal for this particular matchup with how the Wizards are now playing. They're winning games, which is a shock here in the DC area, and they're not as fantasy friendly. So now I'm watching them to enjoy basketball and not enjoy my pinball fantasy scores. What do you want to do here with the Wizards on a back-to-back 3-4? And just let's assume Dinwiddie's out.
Yeah. If Dinwiddie's down, we will immediately look to Bradley Beal to be a guy that plays a lot of minutes and probably does a lot more ball handling in the split where Beal and Kuzma was on, Dinwiddie's off. Got about 235 minutes of sample size. Beal's holding a 30% usage rate. That's a magic number for DFS, a 32% assist rate, and almost a 1.2 fantasy point per minute on DK. So I'll definitely take that, real simple math. That times 34-35 probably is going to net you back 40 plus. So mentioned earlier, the AK price range on FanDuel is probably going to really gravitate towards some Bradley Beal here. And then Kuzma's been the other guy that at 6'7", 6'1", a little bit more volatile range of outcomes, but he's absolutely flexed the ceiling this year that, users that or roster guys that have rushed from last year, maybe didn't know existed. A lot of rebounds this year, averaging almost a double double. So can't help but think that he would get an uptick in opportunity and responsibility as well. His usage rate in that split 20%, but averaging just under a fantasy point per minute, which isn't the worst at a 6.1K price point. If you can get a point per minute and you can get 35 minutes, 35 fantasy points, I'll buy into that. But Beal's the apple of my eye for the Wizards here. And then for some value, you're probably going to see the field flip a coin between Aaron Holiday and Raul Neto, depending on which one starts. I don't necessarily get overly warm and fuzzy on either one of them, but at 3,300 on DK, 3,200 for Holiday, both those guys have a chip in a chair to kind of get you where you need to be. And on the Mavs side, Luka's got every bit of 50 plus fantasy point upside here, and we've seen Porzingis play at a great efficiency for fantasy as well. Last game we saw Willie Cauley-Stein start, I believe. I don't know if kid just experimenting with who's his best option at center between Cauley-Stein, Claybaugh. We've seen Dwight Powell start some games here, and they still got Moses Brown that they haven't unleashed. And maybe one of these days we'll get Boban. But I think until further notice, I'm really just the Luka Porzingis and get out for the Mavs. But if you dive a little bit deeper for like big field entries, it wouldn't shock me here and there when Tim Hardaway Jr. has a good shooting night. DFS to 4,200, kind of the Royce O'Neal role where you're never excited to play him, but the minutes will be there. So if he falls into a good amount of peripherals and gets into a couple extra shots, could see that. That's big field tournament play for me. Jalen Brunson, 7.1K on FanDuel, 7K on DK. It really reminds me of the Tyler Hero price point where I don't feel like I'm getting a great deal, but you know, there's some wiggle room there in a long shot outcome. But I think overall, though, these are two pace down teams. And you mentioned you hyped up that Wizards defense. So I don't have a ton of expectations at these price points. So I think I'm just going for the usage hogs and I'll try and fill in the rest elsewhere. And that'd be Luka, Beal, Porzingis, and then maybe a little bit of Kuzma. And I still like the Harold 6,300 price point. Even at 25 minutes, I can get 30 plus. And the Mavericks' biggest hole so far has been two opposing centers.
All right. Just real quick on Yahoo, we do have Maxi Kleber at 14. He's power forward. That's helpful there. He is back in the mix and healthy after missing 3 weeks. So in his last game, we're not going to get this again, but he did play 36 minutes. He had 36 Yahoo fantasy points. I think he is the guy that matches up the best against the Wizards, along with Porzingis in their front court. The other with the Wizards, just be careful on Daniel Gafford. He had a career high 8 blocks last night. That is not replicable. Let's get into our last game of the night. Oh, I do see someone asked me where they didn't see me in the winner take alls on DK, the quarter ones. I love playing those. I don't generally play them on the full slate. I'll just put in like one lineup in each one that spawns. I'll play them tonight. I like them better on the for basketball on the 5 or 6 game slates or smaller. I don't like them on the full slates. You have to have the perfect lineup, and it's harder to do, in my opinion, there. But I love them. I'm always in there for every hockey slate, no matter what. When they put those up, I enjoy them, and I like them for baseball as well because I embrace that variance. New Orleans and Utah. 217 implied point total here. We're probably going to see Conley rest. They don't really need him for this one. If my memory serves, I don't think anybody that's playing today plays tomorrow. I could be wrong on that.
Emac, this is a back-to-back, and they played each other last night.
And
the Pelicans won.
I went to bed early, so thank you. And I didn't have any players from this one. So, yes, Conley will be out. What I was going to set you up with, and then you can run with this because we got 3 minutes and we got to get out of here for the college football DFS Live Before Lock show because they have a massive slate today. But can we win tournaments without players from this game? There's 217 potential points, but I don't like anybody from this game. What do we do here? Because I've been told you can't win a tournament without players from the last game of the night.
Yeah, like I said, Pelicans played spoiler last night. My boy Devontae Graham with the icer. I don't expect, you know, Lightning to strike twice in the same spot back-to-back nights at Utah. So I think Utah wakes up and takes them serious today. Gobert would probably be my favorite target. If Akali rested for this one, then Donovan Mitchell would be one of the more obvious plays. And then you could talk me into some Bojan, Jordan Clarkson. But not running to jam anything from this game if it stands as such with nobody out. And, you know, I think the Pelicans just played a little bit above their head yesterday. So I think it's realistic to expect to come back down to reality tonight.
All right. That's going to do it for us because we want to get on out of here. Again, we've got 2.5 hours of NBA content coming up. You've got the deeper dive, and then you've got Live Before Lock, and then we're going an extra half hour. We have the College Football Live Before Lock coming up next, and then we have 2 NFL strategy shows, plus the On the Contrary is in the can already. You can check that one out, and we have the NHL strategy show also was recorded earlier this morning, so that is available. You can follow Gundacker on Twitter at Gundacker. I am at EmacDFS. Of course, it is Osmo _COM. With that, Ty the producer, good luck.